Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from 2 Kings 20. And I read especially as text verses, verses 4 and 5. The second book of Kings, chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. And it came to pass, for Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the Lord, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus said the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. We also use the Heidelberg Catechism, as we have read from Lord's Day 52, question and answer 129. And the theme for this sermon is certainty in prayer. Certainty in prayer. Congregation, in those 6 years that we have lived here in the United States, in Michigan, we discovered that a lot of people like hunting more than in the Netherlands, and there's probably also more opportunity, more possibility to do it. So some of you might do hunting. And what are you doing when you go on a hunt an animal? Well, you say, well, I'm gonna try tonight. I'm gonna give it a shot. So there you go. You might build a shelter, and there you sit, you wait. You wait for hours. You might wait the whole night. And you might be successful. Or you might not. You might see and hit an animal. Or you might not see anything at all the whole night. Well, yeah, that's part of it, isn't it? But isn't it true that some people, or maybe many people, think this way about prayer? I can give it a shot. You never know. It might help. Maybe not. That's not right. That's not according to Scripture. That's not the way we should think about prayer, like hunting or fishing. You don't know what will happen, if there will be any result, if there will be a hearing of your prayer. How do we close our prayers? That little word, amen. Maybe it's telling you, okay, now I can open my eyes, children. And yeah, that's true. But it is much more than that. That little word, amen, it has a deep meaning. It literally has the meaning of truth or certainty. So you could also translate it with the word verily. Verily. So, do we think about what we say when we conclude our prayers with that little word, amen? It's like a confession. It's like witnessing that we believe that God is hearing prayers. Like the Catechism says, when the question is asked, what does the word amen signify? It says, amen signifies it shall truly and certainly be, for my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him. These are strong words, isn't it? And you may have a hard time to follow this. To say, yes, that is true in my life. That is how I pray. That little word is expressing the whole attitude, that firm confidence in my heart, the certainty of prayer, the truth that God is hearing prayer. It's interesting to see what the Catechism says in this answer. It says, "It is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him." So, yeah, many times we look to our feelings, isn't it? To our emotions. And we are inclined to think, if I feel strong enough that I need it, then God will hear my prayer. If I'm clearly aware of the need, then I may know that God will hear my prayer. But the Catechism says, "My prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him." So the Catechism says, no, that's not how you have to measure it. And that's not where prayer is depending on. It's not depending on that I feel it deep enough, although I do not deny that sincere prayer has feeling, and sincerity is most important. But be careful that you don't make the foundation for the hearing of prayer in your own feeling. How encouraging it is that it doesn't depend on my feeling or my emotions. No, the foundation of the hearing of prayer is in the Word of God, is in the faithfulness of God, is in the promises of God. So that's not in my emotion. I'm not saying that emotions are not part of prayer life. Like we read in this chapter about Hezekiah, that he was weeping, that he was in tears when he was praying. But that's not a reason why God is hearing. No, the reason is much more firm. It is because of his grace, because of his mercy in Christ. So what is prayer? Let us think more about prayer. First thing we have to say is that prayer is pleasing to God. So that's so important that we are aware of that, to give us that confidence in drawing near to the throne of grace. God is demanding to pray. But also prayer is pleasing to God. God wants us to pray. Well, you can understand that. If you have seen parents, or if you are a parent, and children come to a parent and asking something they need, or how much inclined is a parent, or should a parent be? I'm not saying that there are no such evil and hard parents, but usually we can see that a parent is so inclined to listen to the asking of that tender child. It's a joy for a parent. Or even those children that are in the teenage or grown up, and they come to talk to their parents. Isn't that a joy for parents? When they expose their need, and when they have that confidence, when they feel safe to come to parents and have that trust that there will be a listening ear, there will be an answer. And so they come and talk to their parents. How much more is that true of God, who's good and calling Himself a Heavenly Father in Scripture? So never forget that prayer is pleasing to God. He wants you to pray. It's like to acknowledge Him. It's to glorify him. So why would you not pray more? Why would I not pray more than I do? Let's pray more. The second thing we can say about prayer is, isn't it an amazing way to unload the burden of our heart? You understand that? And whatever burden it may be, the burden of sin, or what you did against God, against His will, making your conscience restless, and the burden on your heart. Where can you go? Who can help you? Well, pray with that confidence in your heart, with that certainty that Scripture and the Heidelberg Catechism are talking about. And maybe you say, well, but you know, if I only could have the right feeling. I'm not good in prayer. I'm not good in having the right attitude, the humility in my heart. Oh, I do not feel enough the desire. I think I lack the faith. And so be careful. Remember what we said about the Heidelberg Catechism, about this answer. It does not depend on the measure of your emotions and feelings, but it depends on the Word of God, His faithfulness, His mercy, His grace. So prayer is such an amazing way to unload the burden of our heart, the pain, the sorrow, the loneliness. There's nothing to be compared to prayer by faith in all those circumstances. And there's so much pain. There's so much sorrow in this world caused by sin. There's so much loneliness. I'm not saying that there are no other ways to seek help, but this should be the first thing. And this is the most powerful thing, prayer. You have your pain, don't you? You have your sorrow, your loneliness. In a certain way, we are all alone. And one day, when we have to pass away from this life, we will be alone, standing before God, and then to know, no, I'm not alone. There's someone making intercession. Well, that's the fruit that has to do with a life of prayer, isn't it? To know Christ as our Savior. There's so much pain in this world. Talk to somebody. Find time to listen. And pretty soon you will hear about pain and sorrow and loneliness. And what an opportunity it may be to point to Christ, to find comfort and consolation in Him by prayer. So prayer is pleasing to God. It's an amazing way to unload the burden of our heart. The third thing we can say is, prayer is the way to be helped in our need for soul and for body. So that means we are helpless. We cannot help ourselves. And that's an important lesson. That's something we do not see by nature. We are so blind for that. But it is reality. We are helpless. We cannot help in the need of our soul. Can we help in the need for this life? Well, it all depends on the Lord. So prayer is the way to be helped. So I can help myself. I'm strong, I'm smart. Well, that's a gift of God. Just one moment and God can take it away, and there you are in your helplessness. Isn't that true? We see that all the time in this life. So prayer is the way to be helped in our need for soul and for body. I hope that's the attitude of your heart. I think our life should be, in a certain way, one cry. Oh Lord, help me in my need. I think that's the way a Christian lives in this life, isn't it? The attitude of prayer, depending on the Lord. And we have a history here in Scripture about a child of God in need. And what is he doing? Hezekiah, a God-fearing king. That's a miracle as such. He had one of the most godless fathers. And then this is the one of the most godly kings. And that's encouraging that God can do that. And this man was a man of prayer, Hezekiah. And then he is in need, in distress. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the Lord is sending his servant, Isaiah the prophet. And he came to the king and said unto him, Thus said the Lord, set thine house in order. We could say that's something we all have to hear. It's something we all have to do. In other words, be prepared for the day that you have to pass away from this life. You might have some more years, but you don't know. So set your house in order. And that's very practical, probably. Things you arrange for, the duties you have, the occupation, your family. But let it also be in a spiritual way that you are prepared. You say, I know grace. The Lord has saved my soul. That's a miracle. I'm so thankful to hear that. But do you live this way, that you are prepared? Lord, the day that thou art calling me, I'm prepared. Are you so... It can even be for a child of God that he is so cleaving to this earth, to the dust, not ready to come when the Lord will call. So many things on your hand that you want to keep. But let it be that you have this life like a rope that is like loose. You can just lay it off. Is that how you live? And that makes such a difference. Set thine house in order. It's a matter of grace, I know. But you remember prayer? God is pleased by prayer, also for this grace. For thou shalt die and not live. What a hard message. It's something, if you never heard that message, you cannot really imagine what it is. If you read Isaiah 38, then you can hear how it was experienced by Hezekiah. How he is describing that the rest of his days were taken away from him. That was his experience. And so what is he doing in this need, in this distress, in this darkness, to hear those words, thou shalt die and not live? Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. So the first thing he does, turn his face to the wall. In other words, he has a desire, a need to be alone with the Lord in this sad and hard situation. He turned his face to the Lord. It's like automatically. It must have been a habit for this man. This was his way of life. Yes, this is Hezekiah, the king who was laying the letters before the Lord in the temple. The king who had seen the power of the Lord. In the previous chapter we can read about it, that the Lord sent the angel and the Assyrians, 185,000, were slain. Yeah, he knew God. And in his need, in this affliction, he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Oh, this is a life of childlike fear of the Lord, a life of prayer. No, he's not running to doctors the first thing he does, but he's praying to God. You recognize it? Something of that certainty of prayer in the life of Hezekiah. And he's going to plead with the Lord. And he's praying with tears. Yeah. Although it does not depend on our emotions, how good it is to see the tears. Can you imagine a father and his child is coming to him in tears? That a father would decline to help this child in need. The tears of a child move the heart of a father, isn't it? Oh, how sweet it is to have this. Where else would you go? Is there someone here who doesn't know this way? It's not too late yet to get to know this way of prayer, this intimate life with the Lord. You might receive this message one day, and where would you go? How would I be? How would you be? Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord to unload his burden on his heart, this pain. I beseech thee, O Lord. He's going to plead. But maybe, wait a minute, maybe you think, what's the use of that? Isn't it useless to pray in such a situation? Look, the Lord sent his servant, so it was the word of the Lord. You will not live but die. So, what is the use of prayer? Can I change God and his counsel, his plan? Maybe you struggle with that. Maybe you have that doubt in your heart. What is the use of prayer? Why would I pray? Oh, that we would think more about that little word, amen. Prayer has its foundation in the truth, in the faithfulness of God. Yeah, that confidence, that certainty in prayer. And it wasn't useless. And faith is not reasoning like that. Well, the circumstances are so and so, so now it's useless to pray. No, that's not what Hezekiah said. He doesn't think or say, Isaiah, the prophet came to me, so now there's nothing I can do anymore. It doesn't work that way. No, he had to pray. Sure, in this situation, he couldn't stop. That prayer that came from his heart and his mouth, from his deepest inward life, he had to pray. Yeah, so that's faith. Hezekiah knew the power of God. He had just seen it. 185,000 soldiers of the Assyrians were slain. But he also knew the compassion of God. So he didn't turn away from God, but he turned towards the Lord in prayer. Do you understand something of that faith? That you have seen the power of God. And you can see it in so many ways. There's so many miracles in this world, in this creation, in your own life. It's a miracle that I stand here, that I have life, that my heart is beating, that I can speak to you, that you can hear it. God has given us all these things. But also, do you see by faith that mercy of God, that compassion? I mean, if we don't pray, is it not because we don't see the faithfulness of God? We don't understand the content of that little word, amen. We don't live by it. We don't see his power. We don't see his compassion, his mercy, his grace, his fatherly compassion and love. How can I see that? Well, this morning we heard the most powerful way that God has revealed it is in Christ. There is the impossibility solved. We could not think out such a way that I, a poor sinner, could be helped in the misery of sin, and that God still could be just and punishing sin. But God gave away in His Son, in Christ. And so there we see His grace, His mercy, His compassion. If you see those two things, His power and His compassion, well, you will pray. So that you meditate about it and study it in the Word, that it will become clear to you, and pray for the Spirit that you may see it, so that you will have such a life like Hezekiah, and in prayer, in every need, and in every trial. I beseech thee, O Lord. So prayer is a matter of faith. It's not because we are going to sit here and reason and think, okay, it could happen if it turns out like this and this, so let us pray for it. No, even in a situation that it seems to be totally impossible, then faith will lift up the heart to God. I beseech thee, because for thou nothing is impossible. And thou art so full of compassion and mercy and grace in Christ. And I plead on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, maybe you have a lot of questions now. Pastor, I've prayed for many things in my life. I didn't see the change. It didn't happen like I hoped it would. I think we all have those questions in our hearts many times in this life. So what is important to understand this little word, Amen? How can it be that I conclude my prayer like this? My prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him. Sometimes I don't see that God has heard my prayer. But it is true. God is hearing every prayer, even every sigh in silence, every groaning of my heart. At the same time, it is true that God is God. Wise, good, almighty, all-knowing, and sovereign. And God is answering prayer. He's hearing prayer. He's answering prayer. But He is doing it as God. Or you could say in His way. And so prayer is a matter of faith, that I believe that. Even if I cannot see the answer, I might have to wait for the answer. The answer comes in a totally different way than I expected it would come. But do I believe that God is God, wise and good? And if I believe that, then I can say Amen at the end of my prayer. Then although I do not see the answer like I hope to, or at the moment I want to, then still I know that God is hearing my prayer and is doing what is good according to His will, what is good for me. And so that's such a different way, isn't it, to pray. That's the biblical way. I mean, that's how the Lord Jesus has been teaching His disciples to pray. That little sentence, "Thy will be done." I have the desire to sit on the throne of God and to rule the things in my own life. But I know for sure if things don't happen the way I thought it should happen and I prayed for, then I know for sure that God knows better, that He is wise and good, and that He is ruling my life much better than I could do it. Thy will be done. Little sentence, just a few words. That makes such a difference. Isn't that a clear sign of faith when we can add those few words? Isn't that a clear sign of faith that we do trust God even in the darkness of the night, even when it is so painful for me? I'm thinking about the Lord Jesus in the darkest night of this world history, when He was betrayed, and then in Gethsemane He was praying in the dust. And Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me, this suffering. But not my will, Thy will be done. So here we see Christ as man in His weakness, human weakness, not sinful weakness, and feeling that burden of wrath on Him and praying this. And God answered the prayer. First thing, God sent His angel to strengthen him. And then Christ went to the cross. But through this suffering, He resurrected and He ascended to heaven and is in glory now. And oh, this is the best thing that ever happened in this world history. Because now He's gathering a church unto Himself as His bride, to be in glory with Him. He is in glory now. This was the will of His Father. And it was the best thing could happen. You understand that? How much difference it makes. Do you have that faith, that trust in your heart? That God is hearing prayer, that God is answering prayer, but that He is God, and that He has all the wisdom and all the love and all the righteousness and compassion, that He is doing what is best. And that can be totally against my flesh. And then I need faith. But you know, when I pray that way by faith, then I can conclude my prayer with that little word, Amen. And then I have that confidence in the Lord that He has heard my prayer and is answering His way, His time. There's no cup of suffering anymore for Christ, isn't there? Is there? And God is answering prayer. But much better than we could expect or think. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 152, stanza 1 through 5. 152, stanza 1, what time I am afraid, I put my trust in Thee. 152, all stanzas. You're still struggling with that question? Why do I not see things changing? I understand it. I remember very well as a child I saw my two brothers. I've told you before probably. I had a muscle disease and I heard my father praying for them. And I was dreaming about it. I thought, wow, my brothers, would that be possible that they walk one day? It did not happen. Is God not hearing prayers? And the oldest of the two, he passed away, very old for that disease, 55, and it happened during a worship service in the evening. So sitting there in church, and his wife pulled him out because he thought, I have to suck out his lungs, and then a blood vessel had broken, and he died. The last psalter, the last psalm, the psalm they would sing after the sermon in which my brother died was Psalm 68, verse 2. And in Dutch it says something like, the godly will leap for joy. He's singing that at a gravesite. I thought, yeah, God is hearing prayers. God had worked in the life of my brother. And there, nobody will say, I'm sick. We need faith. Maybe now you have a question, because if you read about this prayer of Hezekiah, you might think, well, why is Hezekiah speaking about the good things he has done? Verse 3, I beseech you, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. Hezekiah, do you think that God is hearing prayer because you are so good? No, we know from Scripture that a foundation for the hearing of prayer is not in our works, but in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's such a deep comfort when I see my weakness and how much I lack, that I know it's not in my work. But at the same time, although I do know it's by grace alone, at the same time it makes a difference for Hezekiah and for every child of God. If in such a situation of distress, you may know that there was a walk before the Lord in truth and with a perfect heart, and that you did that which was good in His sight. It gives so much more boldness in approaching the throne of grace when we have walked in the ways of the word of the Lord. No, it's not our foundation. But it gives so much more boldness and freedom. You understand that probably, isn't it? Did you not have those situations that you sinned after the Lord gave you grace and that you thought, I cannot pray now. I cannot pray now or before the Lord. You know that you think, I cannot pray when I've just sinned. You feel hindered by it. And Scripture says it is separating us from God. Sin is causing, like we saw this morning, fear and shame in our lives. And we want to hide and to cover because of sin. I'm not saying that that is a solution. When you fall in sin, you should immediately flee to the Lord with all your shame, with all your guilt. But it can keep you so much back, isn't it? And what a privilege if we, by the grace of God, have walked in His ways and come in a situation of distress and trial. And then we have that freedom in our hearts to pour out our whole heart before the Lord, like we see here happening in the life of Hezekiah. Another question that you may have is, but why does the Lord bring His servant in this distress? Because if you continue to read, then you see it didn't happen. And it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, to Isaiah, saying, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus said the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. And on the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord to thank the Lord." So, did God change His counsel, His plan? No. This whole thing was in His counsel, His plan. It was part of the plan of the Lord to test His servant. And there you have the answer for the question you asked. Why did the Lord bring His servant in distress? Isn't that the common way of the Lord? That He is testing faith. Like when you will go to someone who's buying gold, he will have a way to test if it is real gold. And so that's what God is doing. He's testing faith so that it will shine brightly to His glory. And how useful it is. No, this is not a waste of time or energy. This is something we need. Those times of trial and tribulation. You see the fruit here in the life of Hezekiah. He turns in prayer to the Lord, is pleading with God. So it's like God in those situations is drawing people closer to Himself. And I think God's children know this, have experienced that. In the times of need and darkness and distress and fear and pain, that it was drawing me closer to the Lord, closer to Him. And that you say, it was a good time. When you look back, you say, every time I opened Scripture, God was speaking to me. Now, while everything is going well in my life, I might open Scripture and I might think, it doesn't say anything to me. That didn't happen in those days. It was speaking to me, and I was so much depending on the Lord. So God is drawing us nearer to Him through those times of testing and trial. And that's fruitful. And that oppression is producing fruit in our lives. So don't be rebellious against it, but trust the Lord. And pray to be held and have that certainty and confidence in your prayer. So let's see what happens here. The Lord is hearing this prayer. So this is a remarkable example how God can answer prayer immediately according to our desire. It is certainly not true that will never happen. There are so many situations that we have seen that happening. And it's making it so clear that God is so inclined and ready to hear the prayer of His children. Before the prophet had left the palace, the Lord spoke to him, "Turn again and speak to my servant, to Hezekiah. And tell him, behold, I will heal thee. I've heard thy prayer." So is God doing it because of prayer and because of the tears? No. But this is the way, you could say, in which God is providing in the lives of His children, that they pray for it, and that God, because of His grace, is hearing them. And in His way is answering them. And here there is an immediate answer. God is much more ready to hear than we are ready to pray. Another thing we see here is that the healing of Hezekiah doesn't happen immediately. At least it says the third day you will go up unto the house of the Lord. God could do it immediately. But God is taking those 3 days in his wisdom. So God will have different ways in answering prayers according to his sovereign will and wisdom. And another thing we see here is that God is using means in this situation, in this healing of his servant. Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs," and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. God could do it without. But God is using means also many times. So we should not try to limit God with our expectations or thoughts. It is at his time. It is with or without means. And something else God is doing here, he is providing a sign, a miracle. So the shadow of the sun, and the king could decide, shall it go forward or backward? And the king thought, well, usually it goes forward, although slowly, but let it go backward. And that happened. God gave this miracle. And to encourage, to strengthen faith as a sign that it would really happen. And God is free to do that. He can do it. He's not obliged to do it. But he may do it to us in certain situations. It is all according to his sovereign will and plan. His time, with means or without, with a sign or without a sign, God is free, and he should be trusted. We should live by faith. We should have that confidence in his heart that whatever he does is wise and good. We receive deep lessons in this history. Let's conclude this sermon with 3 more thoughts. So Hezekiah received 15 more years to serve the Lord. What a wonder. After this dark night. So the first thought is, never assume that a night is too dark for prayer. Never think it's too dark. That's offending God. Remember Christ hanging on the cross in the deepest darkness of even being forsaken by his Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was like unloading that burden of his heart in prayer. So don't ever think that it is too dark. Don't ever think that something is impossible to God. A second lesson that we find in this history, that a walk in faithfulness, humbly trusting in Christ, but also in obedience to the Word, gives so much more boldness in prayer. It's such a great help in times of trial. You probably have experienced that something happens in your life and your conscience is not clear, because you live willfully, and while you know it, with a certain sin, and immediately the thought comes in your heart, this is the result. This is because of my sin. You feel so afraid. You feel so ashamed and scared. And what a difference it makes if you do examine your heart and you know, like Job, there is not a special sin that caused that God, for that reason, is chastising me for. Not that I'm perfect, but there is not something I willfully continued in against the Word of God. It makes a difference. So I'm not saying that you should not pray if you're caught in sin, but I do say that it is so useful, and God will bless it if you, with the help of the Lord, live in humble obedience by faith, humble obedience to His word. And the third thought, you remember what Hezekiah did after he heard the message? He immediately turned to the wall and started to pray. So let prayer be our habit in every need. Let it just be the way of life. Let it be the continuing attitude of our heart, like it clearly was for Hezekiah. And like we also see in so many children of God in Scripture, like Abram, or if you think about Christ, how he went on the mount to pray during the night, in joy and in sorrow, was talking to his Father, rejoicing in his Father, complaining his need, expressing his need for his Father. Let prayer be our habit. It's the most sweetest way of life. It's demanded by God, and it is to His glory. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast given us prayer, and that we may conclude our prayers with this little word, Amen. And teach us to say it, Lord, with that confidence in our heart that Thou art hearing every expression of our need, every groaning in our hearts. But Lord, also that we may have the trust, that faith, that Thy will is only good. And Lord, that Thou art hearing, answering Thy way, Thy time, Lord, much better than we could imagine. Oh, Thou art a surprising God, and what a holy surprise it will be in eternity to get that insight, or of that deep insight of Thy perfection, that Thou art not making any mistakes, Lord. Oh, forgive us our doubts, the times we thought that Thou art making mistakes, Lord, the times we had rebellion in our hearts, the times we couldn't honestly say Amen. Lord, oh, teach us to pray by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of prayer, of supplication and of grace. We thank Thee, Lord, for all Thou hast given this day. Be with us when we gather as a youth group, and when we have Centurum Morum, Lord, the consistory, and be with us in this week of preparation for the Lord's Supper. Oh, that Thou would prepare our hearts, and Lord, show us Thy work, oh, and work in all hearts, Lord, but also reveal and discover where we are still outside of Christ, so that we will flee while it is not yet too late. Lord, we pray, hear us. In the forgiveness of our sins, in Jesus' name, Amen.